Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, joins us every Wednesday at 4:30. Todd, what's up?
I want to know if you guys have packed your long johns and you're ready for a frigid week next in New York City for leading up to the Super Bowl, boys.
Clay mentioned that the other day. I hadn't even thought about long johns, but I think I might invest in some.
I'm going to go get some.
I'm hoping they protect you guys in Radio Row and you're not sitting out there exposed to the elements.
Oh, no, it's definitely indoors, but, you know, you have to get there. It's not like it's going to be easy, I don't think, to get cabs around downtown, you know, with Manhattan as crowded as it'll probably be in the vicinity of the Super Bowl crew.
No, it'll be
easy. So I think it'll be cold.
Yeah, you guys will have your work cut out for you walking 10, 15 city blocks a pop to try and find some of the nicer delicacies out there in the city.
No. Cabs. They've got a billion cabs in that town. It's unbelievable.
We have more than a billion people, though.
We have a cab shortage in Nashville. Like, we need more cabs.
You don't need more. We've got Lyft and we've got Uber. Just take Lyft and Uber.
Lyft and Uber?
Oh, it's spectacular. I have the apps. You download them, LYFTUBER. You can see the cabs driving around. I mean, the cars driving around. They're faster. They're better. The cars are nicer. The people driving them are nicer. It's infinitely better.
Clay, you might have just earned yourself a sponsorship opportunity.
I probably not, because they probably listen to the rest of the show and know that I'm a controversial pant magnet and are probably afraid of what might come out of my mouth next. But in the meantime, I love Lyft and Uber.
Here's what's happened today. I think Clay's thinking about getting in the sausage business.
VY has gone bankrupt despite making $80 million. You live in the capital of excess. What's the craziest night you've ever heard of somebody having in Vegas in terms of cost?
In terms of cost, it's one thing, because I've seen customers working at Caesars that lost upwards of $17 to $20 million in a calendar year. So if you talk about excess, that's over the top. But a close personal friend...
If you lose $17 to $20 million, what will the casino do to get you inside the casino?
They'll do everything they can, from sending you private jets to buying you cars to making sure they have separate rooms available for not only you, your wife, and your family, but your 14 girlfriends that you're bringing from the Far East. Keep everybody separate at the same time and give you every piece of information and or substance till your little heart desires. But near and dear friends, in terms of stories, I actually had a buddy lose $20,000, get rolled by a hooker, and have his $40,000 Rolex stolen from him. So that was a pretty good story in itself.
That's awful. That doesn't really surprise me, though. I want to go back to 17 to 20 million year old guy losing. If he comes into the casino and he says, is there anything short of like wanting to personally execute somebody that he could request that the casino in Vegas wouldn't make happen? Like you said, if he said, you know what, I'd like 20 hookers in, you know, your highest level suite and, you know, as much drugs, you know, I want these Quaaludes, this cocaine, whatever he's saying. Could he ask, would there be somebody who would make that happen?
Clay, you've been watching too much Wolf on Wall Street.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Quaaludes over there, that Jordan Belfort reference. But when you look at it, I mean, you can do anything and everything necessary. The casinos will obviously deny. But when you have a high-end player that comes in and you understand that the shelf life for him as far as casino business, typically between 3 and 5 years when you're losing money at that rapid a clip, they'll bend over backwards and do anything shy of, like you said, executing someone or bombing a small country to try and keep his business in-house.
That to me is just fascinating, and it's really competitive, right? The whales, because there aren't that many guys who can lose that kind of money, so all the casinos are competing for their business, right?
It's definitely a competitive market. You talk about the MGMs of the world, Caesars and Wynn. We were always at a competitive disadvantage at Caesars because we didn't have a property in Macau, so the other properties could do
because
everything.
Asian, for people who don't know, Asian people gamble at insane rates. I mean, this is true.
Like, is that right?
Oh, that's why, yes. I mean, whatever rate you think that, you know, like your average American would gamble at, Chinese, you know, especially the Chinese, they gamble at insane rates, right? I mean, that's why Macau and all those casinos make so much money over there now.
Yeah, they're talking that Macau can do about 10 times the gambling revenue Vegas can within the next handful of years with just the influx of business they have over there. And the numbers are huge. But as a result, at Caesars, we had to go above and beyond to try and find ways to entice customers to playing in our brand and coming across the world. The funniest part was when you talk to people that were independent reps in various cities throughout China and the Far East, it was a don't ask, don't tell policy. You didn't want to exactly know what they did to entice customers coming to our brand, or if things went haywire, what they needed to do to collect.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The other thing is, okay, we got the Super Bowl coming up. I mean, we've got 2 weeks to talk about it, but what is the most that a Vegas casino you think would accept a bet for? Like, if I walked in and I said, I want to bet $1 million on the Broncos or $1 million on the Seahawks, is that something they would accept?
It all depends on who you are and what type of relationship you had previously. We had a known celebrity within the sports betting world that wanted to come into Caesars and place a $2 million wager, as much for publicity as anything else. The casino said no, they didn't feel comfortable with that kind of liability. I was in the minority and said it seemed to be a no-brainer with the supposedly the tightest number out there. You adjust and you take as much action as you can. They ruled it out and ended up giving the customer a half a million. The largest bet I ever saw placed while I was behind the counter at Caesars was $1 million. And for protecting the individual's name and identity, he was a pretty prominent member of the gaming world. And it was impressive to watch someone come up and place that, albeit not with bricks of 20s or hundreds there. They use casino markers for wagers of that magnitude.
And how does the casino mark that money? I mean, do they have to go ahead and give a cash advance and put it into a fund? I mean, I'm curious on that because most people think, okay, you know, I've got to get, you know, $3,000 or whatever the most you could possibly think who are listening. And that takes up a decent amount of space. What would you do if you're trying to wager $1 million?
Oh, well, a lot of that stuff, the casinos have rules in terms of what they have to keep on hand as far as cash and liquidity there. So when people are coming in and betting that much, that's more of a paper transaction than anything else. You typically won't have a customer come in, you know, win $1.6 million in Baccarat or anything else and ask for it in hundreds in briefcases. That's a story better told for Ocean's 11 and things like that. Typically wired into foreign bank accounts in smaller increments. And, you know, the casinos are responsible for reporting all that. Obviously, the players want that in about 2,000 a pop so they can stay under the radar in their place of native origin.
What's the most money in cash you've ever seen?
Most money in cash I've ever seen at the counter. I saw a customer come up and place a $90,000 wager on a major boxing match. I can't remember who was involved, but he was a 1 to 10 favorite. So that $90,000 only won the customer back $9,000. But that probably wasn't That wasn't the funniest story. The best is when you have customers that come up with grocery bags, the little plastic ones you'd get from any of your local neighborhood supermarkets. They come up with crumpled up $20 bills, fives, tens, and they want $5,000 on insert team name here. You're going, yeah, for selling dime bags to 7th and 8th graders, this is an awfully convenient way for you to launder your money.
Intriguing, yes.
Well, these guys that lose all this money, they're just looking at it as an entertainment expense.
Because
that's how they justify it.
Well, also, from a laundering money perspective, if you've got a lot of illegitimate money, if you wager it and win it, then you can report it and it becomes legal, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're able to wash that. There's transactions. And casinos are responsible for transactions over certain denominations, marking everything down. There's a record of it. And we don't do due diligence, so the dollar bills aren't marked in terms of where they come from. So it does become a convenient way for organized crime, as much as the casinos don't want to actually pay any attention to that. It does go on an awful lot.
Well, we'll talk more about the Super Bowl next week, but most of the money going on the Broncos and Peyton?
Yeah, about 75% of the money coming in on Denver early, albeit most of the public that you'll see entering the market won't come in until that next Thursday all the way up and through kickoff. Interesting part, though, Brent, on this game, number opened at Pick'em at a lot of shops. Some books out here in Vegas use Seattle -2. Money quickly swung. And what's fascinating, the public hasn't liked Denver each of their first two games in the AFC, now suddenly has latched on to the Peyton Manning narrative. And suddenly, amid the Richard Sherman hubbub and everything else that's gone on, Seattle's become public enemy number one.
Good stuff, Todd. Appreciate you, man.
Always a pleasure, guys.